Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, every single service I've changed up my sermon just a bit, but look at my notes. They're all scribbled on. Because today was snowy, and I didn't realize it was going to be so snowy on my way in, and I got here a little late, and all I could think of in my car ride over was Pastor Callen saying, Jesus loves you, Becca. Jesus loves you, like he always does. And he always has us sing his favorite song, Jesus Loves Me. So then when we got here for communion, I walk into the room. They've got it all planned out, everything we're going to do. And they said, and guess what? We've got the song that we're going to sing today, and we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, all three verses. And I said, oh, I was just thinking about that on the way in. This is totally a Holy Spirit moment. And so I'm beginning my sermon by telling you the Holy Spirit is indeed alive, and it kind of gets at the heart of what I feel like this whole gospel is about. In the summer of 2017, my husband and I had the chance to go to France for a 7-day silent retreat to learn about the Gospel of John. The 7 days Sej and I spent on this retreat transformed us, really. It helped us to live into our faith more deeply and trust that God truly is the God of life. And our retreat leader, who was teaching us about John, told us to be silent that week, not just simply to stop talking, like as a law, but in order to listen to what Jesus is saying. So a second Holy Spirit moment today happened when Pastor Callen at communion said, take a little longer to listen to God as you confess your sins. And I was like, oh, I'm talking about that too today. The Holy Spirit is alive. The Gospel of John's thesis is this. John wants to help us to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in believing, we may have life in his name. So the question we should ask with every gospel story we read in the book of John is, what does it mean to have life in Jesus' name? That's the question the book of John keeps asking, and it's good for us to keep it in mind as we discern life, as we discern love and light in our lives, because when we see those things, we know Jesus is there also. So first, life. Years ago, I was taught a prayer practice called the Examine, and it's very simple, and I do it every day to help me discern life in my midst, consolation and desolation. All you do is you ask yourself two questions at the end of the day. You ask yourself, what brought me closer to God today? What brought me life? What brought me consolation? What brought me peace? And then on the other side, you ask yourself, what drew me away from God today? From life, what brought me desolation? And asking those two questions helps me to discern the path towards life, where God is leading me to find life-giving, joy-filled, peace-filled moments and recognize them and follow those rather than be dragged down by the desolate moments, because that is not what God hopes for us. So life is the first thing the Gospel of John teaches us. Second thing throughout the Gospel of John is love. The great cry is, do you love me? I used to be part of a community called the L'Arche community in Seattle, Washington, where folks of varying abilities lived together like a family. This question of love was asked more clearly than at any other time in my life, because my friends with special needs had so often had people in their lives that were professional. They would care for them, cook for them, clean their clothes, give them baths, give them physical therapy, give them doctor's appointments, which were all important. But they didn't always address the deeper cry that all of us humans have, and that is the cry being asked, do you love me? Because to love someone is not simply to do things for them, but to reveal to them that they are precious. When we recognize that God's deep love is for us, each of us, then we can truly reveal that deep love for one another. And in that love, again, we are given life. You just heard Pastor Callan read John 3:16. Most of us probably know this. It's one of the most famous Bible verses of all. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." It's so basic. It's so memorable. God loves the world, the whole world. And yet it's a message that we all need to hear over and over and over again. Because just because we say it and intellectualize it doesn't mean that we truly believe it. We hear messages that we're not good enough, that we think the wrong way, that we deserve what we get, that if we tried just a little bit harder, then we would be worthy of love. We hear it outside our heads, but we wrestle with it inside as well. We look to the ways we don't deserve God's grace and love, and we justify why our neighbors don't deserve God's grace and love. But John 3:16 says it clearly. God loves the whole world so that we may not perish but have eternal life. None of us will perish because Jesus is the light and love and life of the world. Which brings us to our story today of Jesus and Nicodemus and the impact of light in our life. Jesus and Nicodemus illuminate this distinction between light and dark, and you'll see in the story next week with the woman at the well who also illuminates this light and dark dichotomy. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That means he was a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night to have a conversation with him. There was something compelling and new about the way Jesus was, and Nicodemus was intrigued. But he wasn't completely comfortable encountering Jesus with his questions in broad daylight because he was supposed to have his act together. Nicodemus wasn't visibly ill like so many people who were attracted to Jesus. Nicodemus wasn't socially ostracized like so many people who were attracted to Jesus. He was, by all worldly measures, a successful, respected leader. But something about Jesus speaks to him deeply, and he's obviously curious about it. So he asks Jesus how to get this essence of what he's looking for, what he sees in Jesus. And Jesus tells him, "You must be reborn." Now, if you're like most of us, Nicodemus probably hoped that his answer would be a little bit different, hoped that maybe Jesus would give him a few things to do, accomplish something that he can actually check off his list to achieve salvation and life. Instead, Jesus says he needs to be reborn. Jesus says, "What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit." This new birth Jesus is talking about is spiritual. It's not physical. He says, "The spirit, like the wind, moves where it chooses. You don't know where it comes from, nor do you know where it is going. So it is with everyone in the spirit," which is why I was so struck with Pastor Callan's "Jesus loves me" suggestion this morning. The spirit was alive. The spirit is alive when we have our eyes open for it. Nicodemus is used to focusing on material realities of faith. Jesus brings forth the spirit. Like the wind, God's gift of life and spirit carries us to places that we don't have words or abilities for ourselves. We can't see where the wind comes from, but we can see its impact. It can't be managed. It can't be predicted, but it can be experienced, and we know when we do. Anne Lamott describes the spirit like this. She says, "It's the help you receive when you have no bright ideas left, when you are empty and desperate and have discovered that your best thinking and your most charming charm have failed you. Grace is the light or electricity or juice or breeze that takes you from that isolated place and puts you with others who might be as startled and embarrassed and eventually become as grateful as you are to be there." Living into the grace and spirit means that we are reborn, and we know from the beauty of babies, which we see a few of in this congregation right now, how much joy babies bring. But to the baby being born, it's a different reality altogether. When we are birthed into a new world from the comfort of our mother's womb, we arrive crying, uncomfortable, not sure what the new reality will entail. But all of the people that welcome us, I'm telling you, you can't see, I see all your faces. When you see babies up here for baptisms, like you will just a bit, your faces just come alive. We know that when a baby is in front of us, we welcome them with a loving gaze. And so as babies learn to trust the ones who receive them with love, when their needs are met, when they learn to receive the things that people want to give them, their needs are met, they're clothed, they're clean, they're comforted, they only find true ease when they find deep love. It takes time to trust that love, and Nicodemus shows us that today, but it's the only way forward. Babies don't depend on their own abilities or their own self-love to get them through. Their entire existence is dependent upon the love and care of the other. And you'll see that in just a moment as we witness a beautiful baptism. When we bring our loved ones to the waters of baptism, it's not just an insurance policy for eternal life, but it is a proclamation that God is constantly caring for us and loving us and giving us life right here on earth and in death after we pass and live with God forever in heaven. Nothing ever separates us from the love and life of God and grace of God. So our role as a congregation, and Mount Olivet does this so well, is to remind one another of our baptismal promises. And we tell our confirmation kids every week, if there's anything that they remember from confirmation, this is all we care about. I mean, we want them to remember as much as they can, but this is all that we really care about. Remember that you are a child of God, and you give yourself the sign of the cross. Remember that you are loved, and you give yourself a hug, and then you reach out to a neighbor, and you say, remember that you are not alone. And I'd like you to all do that with me right now so that you remember this promise very simply and go with it wherever you go. So remember that you are a child of God. Make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Remember that you are loved. Give yourself a hug. And remember that you are not alone. It is so important to remember these things in this world that tries to make us isolated, tries to make us think we're not enough, tries to make us think that God is not alive and giving us life. Nicodemus saw the need for God. Nicodemus saw the need for light, for love, for life. His transformation is slow but steady. And as he goes through this Gospel of John, he comes to defend Jesus a little bit later in the Gospel. And then at the end of life, after Jesus dies, he shows up to embalm Jesus in the brightness of day, moving from darkness to light. Like all birth, he's brought into a new world and moves him, and Nicodemus has moved past the boundaries that have kind of kept him back before. We're all invited into that new world. As God works through Nicodemus, God works through you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen.